Good afternoon. You are listening to the Andy Zanke Youth News Team on KDNK. I'm Blake.
I'm Mountain.
And I'm Ephraim. This is the news team's first show of 2019. For those who are not familiar with the news team, we are a group of 6th, 7th, and 7th grade students from Basalt and Carbondale Middle Schools. We meet once a week to produce a radio show. We focus on a different topic each month.
We also learn about reporting, conducting interviews, and the world of news. For this month's show, we thought it would be interesting to interview KDNK's new news director, Mark Dugan, about his experience in radio and journalism and what he enjoys about KDNK.
Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
To begin, can you give us an introduction about you and your background?
Sure. Yeah, I've been in radio for 32 years and journalism for just about the same time. So I was a high school journalist. I wrote for the newspaper and the yearbook. At the same time, I was working at a little college radio station. This was in the mid-80s. I walked up to the college radio station. I wasn't a college student, and I asked if I could be on the air, and they said yes. So that kind of became the beginning of my career. And then a couple of years later, when I was 16, I went to work at a commercial radio station there in town as an all-night DJ playing records. This was actually before CDs came along. So that was kind of my beginning. And then from there, I've moved around several places throughout the West. I've been in Denver, Durango, Tucson, Flagstaff, and a few other places. I was in commercial radio for a while, and then I moved into journalism and radio full-time about 15 years ago.
Awesome. What inspired you to enter the field of journalism and radio?
Well, my dad was a typesetter, which is kind of a dying art, but he set type for newspapers and magazines. And so I got interested in the English language and also grammar and punctuation pretty early on. And then I just fell in love with words, words on the page, words coming out of our mouths, listening to words. And I fell in love with what you could do with radio, what we call the theater of the mind, which is kind of what's going on right now. Yeah.
Can you tell us about your experiences as a reporter on the road?
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of what we call field reporting, which I did a lot of it in Arizona. So at one point, I was driving all over the state of Arizona in a radio station vehicle, and I had a microphone and a recording deck and a camera that also recorded video with me. And I was basically told to go out and find cool stories. Occasionally, I got assigned stories, but it was really just my job to come up with cool stories out of the blue. And so I would go on a 5-day road trip, and I'd land in some town in Arizona, and I'd already had my stories planned out. And so I'd get 4 or 5 different stories in just 2 or 3 days, setting up appointments and interviewing people and recording people. So that was a really interesting experience as opposed to being in the studio all the time. It's fun to get out and see the scenery and talk to people that are out doing a story, doing something out in the field, instead of calling them on the phone or asking them to come into the studio. So I got to meet a lot of people. I got to see a lot of cool things, and I got to drive over the course of about 3 years, probably about 6,000 or 7,000 miles. Just doing journalism and putting this on the radio station in Tucson and also putting it on my website as well.
So when you were doing that, what kind of van or car were you driving?
It was just a minivan.
Really?
Yeah, it was just a minivan. But it was what we call logo wrapped. So the whole thing had a logo around it. So I definitely stood out on the highway. Everybody knew instantly. Oh, it's someone from the public radio station
cool.
In Tucson. We can tell. And
yeah.
I got people waving at me. I got people flipping me the bird. I got a little of everything. You quickly learn who likes you and who doesn't like
yeah.
you on the highway when you're driving a logo-wrapped vehicle. Yeah.
What was one of the most interesting or exciting stories that you have produced?
Well, it's funny because just this week we've gotten a new story about bark beetles and their effect on the forests around Colorado and how there's a concern that the Lake Christine burn area is going to attract even more bark beetles because they thrive on half-dead timber. And the bark beetle issue has been going on for years. When I was your age, I used to see hillsides up around Steamboat Springs that were brown because of beetle infestation. So when I was working out of Tucson, I learned about a story about some researchers at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff. They had discovered, just purely by accident, just playing around in the lab, that bark beetles become disturbed by one thing, their own sounds. So they had what they call a phloem, which is basically an aquarium. It's a false habitat for bark beetles. And the researcher was having fun one day, and he was piping in music to them, and the beetles didn't care. He was piping in voices. The beetles didn't care. So he got this idea to record the sounds of the beetles themselves. They make this very, very quiet noise. He was able to put a microphone on them, record them, and then amplify it about 150 times. And by the time it was done, it sounded like something from a horror movie. This weird crackling noise. And so he fed that sound back into the bark beetles, and they went nuts. And they started attacking each other and even killing each other. So there was a fun story in that, because it all started with a researcher in a lab late at night trying to figure out what might be interesting and different in research about bark beetles. And so I had a lot of fun with the story because I could interview the researcher, and he was a very funny, down-to-earth guy. I could also interview his professor, who was overseeing his research, that could come at it from a very scientific standpoint. I used the sounds of the beetles in the story, amplified them some myself. And then when having fun with the researcher telling the story of watching what the beetles did to them, to each other when they heard their sounds, I took some liberties and had some fun with his voice and made him sound like a chipmunk, and then made him sound like Darth Vader. The whole idea was just to have fun with a pretty fun story. So that caught a lot of people's attention, and I still, to this day, occasionally have people mention that story to me.
So you've been in the field for a long time. How has the radio changed since you started?
When I first started working in radio, we didn't have computers at all. In fact, my first station didn't have anything computerized in the building. And it was probably about 4 or 5 years later that computers started trickling into the radio station, mainly to pay bills originally and to do things with the transmitter. But now everything is computerized in a radio station. Of course, we have CDs on the wall, and we still have records, and we can still play all that. And ultimately, radio still comes down to a microphone, some CD players, and imagination. But we also have this computer aspect here. You're all staring at two gigantic computer screens in front of you right now. Of course, we use it for information like news, weather forecasts, and road conditions. But we also have the big system that runs the radio station overnights, and when you hear the programming on Sunday evening, and some of the programming that we just basically let the computer run, just because it's easy that way. There's two sides to KD&K. There's the side where DJs and people like you come in, and you're creative, and you do what you do. Then there's the other side where we're playing programs like Radiolab and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And in that case, we just let the computer run it because it's easiest that way. But there's a whole world of getting that to work. And it's funny because a lot of people don't know about the moving parts that go into a radio station. And that's one of the biggest moving parts, is the computer systems we use now.
How has being involved in radio impacted your life?
So I was shy as a kid, believe it or not. As I was pretty shy when I was 10, 11, 12 years. I know, it's hard to believe. And I was not the kid who stood up in front of class. And, you know, I just, the whole idea terrified me. But I fell in love with listening to DJs on the radio. And so I really had to overcome some shyness to be on the radio myself, and I did. And so now I love it, and that shy aspect of me that I had when I was 10 is no longer there.
Okay, so let me get this straight. From the time you were in grade school to the time you were in college, you had gotten the guts to go from being that one shy kid who always sits in the back of the class,
yep,
to the kid who is on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty insane.
I know. It is. I agree. My mom felt the same way.
And so what do you most love about being in radio?
The theater of the mind. The fact that, you know, unlike TV and movies, the listener has to draw his own picture, his or her own picture. And the imagination that comes with listening to creativity on the radio, I still thrive on to this day. particularly with podcasts. A lot of podcasts out there are kind of definitely feeding the imagination and the whole theater of sound aspect of radio. And so it's fun to see something that I fell in love with so many years ago still being very vital today. Because I remember a few years ago they were saying radio's dying. Internet's going to kill it. Movies, all that's going to kill it. I think it's just as strong as ever.
Alrighty, we will take a quick music break and we will be right back. Here's T.O. by Miles Davis. You are listening to the Andy Zenka Youth News Team on KDNK.
We have been speaking with Mark Dugan, KDNK new news director, about his background and experience with radio. Now we would like to talk a little bit more about KDNK.
Okay, so our first question is, how did you end up at KDNK?
I parachuted in. No, really. I worked at the community station over in Crested Butte last year for a year. And then I also worked at a public radio station in Durango. And I have known Gavin Dahl, the executive director of KDNK, for a while. And we got to talking last fall about the future of some stations on the Western Slope. And he mentioned that he was going to have a news director opening coming up in November. And he encouraged me to apply. That didn't mean I was a shoo-in. I still had to go through the process of interviews and all that. But he encouraged me to apply, and I did, and here I am.
What does your day-to-day look like as news director?
A whirlwind swirling around a vortex. No. Actually, yes. You know, there are days when it's kind of, it's almost checking off boxes. Did this get done? Did this get posted? Did this get edited properly? And then there are other days where that all goes out the window and it's all creativity and it's all figuring out how to do about 12 hours of work in about 8 to 9 hours. So every day is different in the news world, of course, particularly when wildfires happen and breaking news happens. So there are days when it's a mad rush and I almost can't keep up. And then there are days when it just sort of lulls and you kind of have to go find the news. And then there's also that time when, and this is something Gavin and I talked about quite a bit, that is important for this job, that it's more than just putting news together and getting news on the air. There's also the dreaming part of it. And by that, I mean, what else can we do with KD&K? Where can we take the radio station? Where can we take the news department? What's next? So that kind of, you know, who can we collaborate with? What can we do with this thing that we have, this radio station we have, and the reach that it has for our listeners? And so that's really the coolest aspect of the job, where I can just think about the possibilities, if you will, and then we can start charting a path toward making those happen.
What are you looking forward to most as new news director at KD&K?
Partially getting to know the community, and part of that's already happened, and that'll be a process that will continue for quite a while. So getting to know the people in the community, the organizations in the community, what people are doing, what's important to people, of course, and what they want to hear reported on KD&K. And so that's a really fun process, getting to know a new community and what's important to them and what they want to talk about and hear about on their community radio station.
What makes KD&K different from any other radio stations you have worked at?
I would say that one of them is the level of engagement I see across the board. And I'm seeing that right in this room today, of course, but also with some of the other programming, the Hispanic programming, the music, the news. It just seems to be a very well-balanced radio station.
Do you have any advice for kids like us that are interested in pursuing a career in journalism or radio?
Keep up with technology. And I know that's not as hard for kids. keeping up with technology. But, of course, in the news world, technology changes very, very quickly. And so we find better ways to tell stories all the time. So I'd encourage you to keep up with that. And also just immerse yourself in the news. Even stories and subjects that you don't think you're interested in, you may find either someday you are, or you may find you have to tell a story where you need to call on some knowledge you have about something you didn't think you were that interested in. So that's important, too, to kind of be steeped, immersed in the news at all times and just kind of paying attention to the world around you, not just in Carbondale or the Roaring Fork Valley, but the United States and the whole world. Keeping up with news on news websites, keeping up with news on social media, and then also just spending a lot of time practicing and getting better and better and better. And that is sometimes the most difficult part, spending hours to produce a piece and then realizing that somewhere down the line, it's not going to take nearly that long because you learned how to produce the slow way and just spending hours finding your voice and finding the best way to tell a story.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Not really. No. Although that's always a good question. I'll bring that up. As a reporter, I get my best answers when I'm interviewing people. When I throw out that final question, is there anything else you'd like to add? Or I rephrase it a little bit. Is there an answer you want to have told that I didn't ask the question for today? And that is often where I get my best quote and the piece that you end up hearing in the actual finished news story. But in this case, I don't have anything to add.
Sadly, it looks like that's all the time we have for today. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth News Team on KD&K. We have been talking to Mark Dugan, KD&K's news director, about his experience with radio and his job at KD&K.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Mark.
Yes, it was fun.
For the Andy Zanka Youth News Team, I'm Blake.
I'm Ephraim.
And I am Mountain.
Thanks for tuning in.